Well, if you would tonight, take God's Word and go with me to the Psalms, Psalm 6. And I'd like to take time to go through this passage of Scripture, and we're asking the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight through His Word. Psalm number 6, if you'll follow along as we read these 10 verses. The Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. We come to this passage of Scripture, and the first 7 verses is really David pouring out his soul. It's one of the penitent psalms. It's one of the psalms where David is seeking forgiveness, and he cries out a few times for mercy. Verse number 2, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak." In verse number 4, it says, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me, for thy mercy's sake." And there's an emphasis in this passage of Scripture on God's mercy. Tonight's message is titled this, For Thy Mercy's Sake. And I love the word mercy. Mercy and grace, I describe them often. I think it's important. It's very foundational in knowing God's Word and understanding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His forgiveness and work in our heart, is to understand mercy and grace. God's grace is when we do get what we don't deserve. The Bible says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. What's grace? It's when you do get what you don't deserve. I do not deserve the forgiveness of sin. I do not deserve eternity in heaven. But by God's grace and through faith in Christ, His grace extends that gift to me. Mercy is also a great blessing from God, but it's a little bit different. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. The Bible says it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And it's God's mercy that prevents us from getting what we do deserve, condemnation. And so in this passage of Scripture, David is saying, Now look, Lord, I'm having a hard time. It's difficult. There are seasons that are hard and harsh. He says, I'm having difficulty on the outside. I'm having difficulty on the inside. I'm having difficulty spiritually. I'm having difficulty physically. And he cries out for God's mercy. And something that the Holy Spirit highlights in the heart of David in a time of need, something that encourages him as the passage comes to a conclusion, God just reminds him that God hears him. God hears him. God communicates with him and communes with him. And this psalm begins with, Have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. And concludes with the optimism that the Lord has had mercy on me because He's heard me. And I can trust and rest in the fact that God hears me. So let's work on this passage of Scripture together. For thy mercy's sake, God works on our behalf. For thy mercy's sake. Let's consider, number one, David's condition. He begins here in verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Do you know what David acknowledges here in this passage of Scripture? He says, I've not done everything right. As a matter of fact, I've been rotten. We can't put a finger, as we study this passage of Scripture, on what portion or what time in David's life it was. But it could have been any number of times, because David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a man. He was a sinner. And he was in a season, in a moment of his life, when he realized, and it was really clear to him, how rotten he was and how good God was. By the way, if you find yourself in these moments and these seasons when you acknowledge and realize that you don't have it all figured out and that you aren't right all the time and you're not great and you're not perfect, there's a lot to be learned from coming to grip and coming to the reality that I'm not amazing. I'm a sinner. We talked about it last night. I talk about it often in my home. I tell my boys, they play ball and they do things. And you know what happens sometimes? You lose. Play as hard as you can and you lose. But you know what I found out a long time ago? You learn a lot more when you lose than you do when you win. That doesn't mean I'm not rooting for the team and I want to win every time. But I do understand that in these seasons of life, when it just feels like, man, I'm a real loser, that's not all bad. The bottom line is that we can allow the grief in these seasons of life when we understand that we're not right and that things aren't right and we've done things wrong and we've sinned against God and we've made poor decisions and we've wasted time and we have these realizations where, boy, I really messed up this time. Those things aren't all bad. And God wants to use them to show us some things. Your troubles and your trials, it's quite trite, I know, but they'll make you bitter or they'll make you better. And in this passage of Scripture, David had made some kind of terrible mistake. I don't know if it was his sin with Bathsheba. I don't know if it was he was at this moment in his life, he's getting old and poorly running the nation of Israel. Some of the events that led up to Absalom running him off the throne. I don't know where he was in life. He may have just been looking back and remorseful about things he'd done. No matter what it is, it's irrelevant. He realized, hey, look, I need God. I've been wrong. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Verse number 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. This is something that was highlighted in a commentary I read regarding this verse of Scripture. It is interesting that one of God's greatest men, the man after God's own heart, was dealing with physical infirmities. Some people have this notion that somehow if you're thoroughly right with God or if you are being good or you are doing right, then surely you won't have to suffer any type of physical infirmity. That's just not true. That's just not true. God does allow those times and those issues in our lives, and they are with purpose to bring us closer to the Lord. He says, I am weak. I am weak. He says, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. He was suffering. He was suffering. Not only was he suffering on the outside, he was suffering on the inside. Verse 3 says, my soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? He says, my soul is also sore vexed. He says, inside, I'm just dying. I mean, if you ever have these seasons where inside, you're just churning. It happens, doesn't it? Isn't our human nature quite fickle? If we were willing to just admit it and bare our souls to one another, I'm not recommending that's necessarily what you do, but if we just be perfectly honest, we all have highs and lows. We all have seasons where we don't think about our infirmities and our worries. They just don't seem to bother us. They don't seem to change much. I've had this conversation just today. I thought, look back the last 36 hours and nothing's really changed. But you know what? The emotions have. Have you ever noticed that? In the last day and a half, nothing's changed. The circumstances of life haven't changed, but the emotions have. And David said, look, Lord, my soul is sore vexed. He says, I'm just struggling inside. He says, evidently, whatever he'd been dealing with has lasted a while. And he asked this question, oh, Lord, how long? He said, Lord, how long is this going to last? How long is it going to last? And you may be in a season of life that's lasted a long time. You may be bearing a burden and having a struggle. It's lasted a long time. And Peter gave testimony, the fact that for more than a year he's been struggling with this health concern. And he's thankful that God's giving him some relief. We have folks in our presence tonight that because of health concern haven't been able to be around folks at all for a year. Oh, Lord, how long? Did you ever get to the place where you said, how long, Lord? I'm tired of this. I want you to know something. When you begin to get impatient about the circumstance of life, instead of asking God how long or questioning God, ask Him, what is this for? Don't ask why, Lord. Ask what for, Lord? Why? I mean, what is this for? What is the purpose of this? He says, how long? And I'll just tell you, God allows things in our lives for lengths of times that are He understands better than we do. And we can wait on Him and know that God is faithful. David's condition, he was waiting. He was hurting on the outside. He's hurting on the inside. He was growing impatient. The Bible says, verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. He says, I need deliverance. I need help. Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake. Lord, I need your mercy. He begins to talk to the Lord and begins to make some deals with the Lord. Look at the Bible says in verse 5. I love this thought. He's speaking to God, and David says, God, in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? He's thinking, Lord, I'm feeling so bad, I think I'm going to die. And he's talking to the Lord. He says, you know, Lord, if I die in the grave, I can't praise your name. You know, Lord, if I die, I can't give you glory. I can't remind people how good you've been. If I die, it almost reminds you of Hezekiah who wanted to pray and ask God to give him some more time. He's like, I feel like I'm about to die. And Lord, you know, if I die, I can't give you praise. He says, let me live a little bit longer for your mercy's sake. You know something I thought as I read this verse and asked the Lord to help me with it? I just wondered if my life was the kind of life that's giving glory to God, that if I did die, that there would be an absence of God's praise. If I did die, would there be a dearth of spreading the glory and praise of the Lord? I want to have the kind of life that if he dies, there'll be a little spot missing of the praise and the glory of God and the testimony of the faithfulness of God in my home and my community. Wouldn't it be awful to call yourself a Christian? And if you died and you faded off of the scene, the praise of God would not be affected. The testimony of the goodness of God would not be affected in our community. Hey, look, I just want to be the kind of Christian that's living for the glory of God and giving praise to God. David said, now look, Lord, you know, if I'm feeling bad on the outside and the inside and I'm pleading for your mercy, he says, you know, if I die, I can't praise your name from the grave. He says, let me just keep on praising. You see, living for God gives us purpose. He continues and says in verse number 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. He says, I'm weary. I'm weary. Weary with my groaning. He said, this thing has just been eating at me. How many of you ever had a burden that's just eating at you? He said, it's eating at me. It's eating at me at night. You know, worry is a lot like sickness. How many of you have noticed that sickness is worse at night? The last time I was sick, you know, I do okay during the day, but it just seemed like as soon as the sun went down, the fever went up. I feel bad. Worry is the same way. Fretting and trouble and grief and night it seems to be worse. And David says, look, I'm in a bad way. He says, I make my bed to swim. And I see him tossing and turning is how I interpret that. Because next we see that he's watering my couch with tears. He says, my pillow is just sopping wet with tears. My heart's broken. I can't sleep well. He continues talking about how bad he's got it and how difficult it is. Verse 7, mine eye is consumed because of grief. Have you ever seen somebody full of grief and you see it in their eyes? That's what he's talking about. I can just see them. They look bloodshot to me. And they look, they're a little bit drooped and they're a little bit weak. He says, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. He says, boy, I've got it tough. He says, it's difficult right now. He says, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. I've done things wrong and I'm suffering because of some of the things I've done. He says, I'm struggling. It was David's condition. He finds himself in this place. David's condition leads to David's cry. You see, you find yourself in these low times, and it's easy in a difficult time. For certain folks, it's easy in a difficult time to get angry. Some people just have a natural ability when things get low, they can just roll it over on the Lord, and they have the right attitude. Other of us like to fight it. How many of you, when things get difficult, you like to fight it? When things get hard, you like to fight it. You like to just... you want to resist it. You want to blame somebody. You want to fight it. You get rotten instead of getting right. You see, our griefs, I mean, you just saw the list of griefs. And they weren't just one grief. David says, I'm having trouble with enemies. I'm having trouble with my health. I'm having trouble with my family. I'm having trouble with my soul. He says, it's awful. And his cry is actually correct. Look what he says in verse number 4. He says, return, O Lord. Return, O Lord. What's he acknowledge? He acknowledges the fact that he's left the Lord. He acknowledges the fact that the path of his life has moved away from what is sound and right and godly. He says, return, O Lord. Return, O Lord. Deliver my soul. He says, you know what? I am in trouble. But the only way I can get help is, Lord, deliver my soul. He says, oh, save me. What's he cry for? Does he cry for, fix my problem, Lord. Fix the thing that's burdening me. Fix the thing that's broken. Fix the thing that's aggravating me. Smite my enemy. No. He says, return, O Lord. Deliver my soul. Save me. What's he cry out for? He cries out for the Lord. You know what happens? We get our list of burdens. For 7 verses, the primary emphasis of this passage of Scripture, for 7 verses, save verse number 4, is, I have this problem and 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 this problem. Woe is me. How many of you really have problems? You've got bunches of them. And so David's like, I've got all kinds of problems. But he identifies one thing that will help him get all of his problems in order. He says, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me. He says, I need the Lord. He says, for thy mercy's sake. Save me for thy mercy's sake. His cry, what does his cry include? One thing. He says, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Return. Verse number 8. Is another portion of his cry. Verse 8, the Bible says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. David's condition leads to David's cry. He cries out for God's salvation. And it concludes with David's comfort. Look how he concludes this passage of Scripture. Verse 8. The Bible says, verse 8, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly." Where does he find his hope, his comfort? He finds his hope and comfort that irregardless to his rottenness, irregardless to all of his problems, most of which were self-inflicted, irregardless to the power of his enemy, irregardless to the burdens of his flesh, irregardless to all the burdens that he bore, he understood when he cried to the Lord, God heard him. God heard him. Now look, this is such a simple notion. It's something we all believe to a certain extent because we pray. We pray. People are comforted by prayer. But we should take to heart the simple truth. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. Now, think about that. What all has God done? One of the greatest things God ever did was He spoke into existence everything that is. God that created the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and the water and the sky and the solar system and the planets and everything that's ever existed. God that created everything, guess what? He hears my prayer. He cares about me. I'm insignificant. But not to God. And David said, you know what? I'm helped. He says, I'm helped. I know that when I cried to the Lord, that He will extend His mercy. He will not give me what I do deserve. He will act on my behalf. He will hear my prayers. So depart from me, all you works of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. He says, I've got victory over my enemies because God hears my prayers. He says in verse number 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He hears my prayers. He receives my prayers. Aren't you thankful that God hears and answers, receives your prayers? And finally, he says, I'm claiming great victory. I'm claiming victory. He says, let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. David took comfort in God's mercy. We should take comfort in God's mercy. God does not give us what we deserve. Isn't that good? God does not give us what we deserve. He extends His mercy. If you find yourself in a moment, a season of great burden and difficulty, whichever it is, physical, emotional, spiritual, you may have some real live, living enemies. And it happens. Just be reminded of the simple truth. God extends His mercy, and God hears your prayers. God extends His mercy, and God hears your prayers. David took courage. He took great courage in the fact that God heard him. And we can too. How long has it been since you allowed your burden to drive you to prayer? How long has it been since you allowed your burden to drive you to God? You see, that's His purpose. He wants you. He wants your attention. He wants you to depend on Him and trust Him. Because you know what? We get all these burdens. They pile up on top of us. But when we put God in His proper place, we understand that He can take care of those things. He'll help us. He'll lead us. He'll give us peace for Thy mercy's sake. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. If you find yourself in this place, Lord, have mercy upon me. Just remember, when you cry and send that prayer to heaven, God hears it and acts, and you can rest in His faithfulness. Let's determine to trust the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me.